The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests as individuals and do not necessarily reflect those of advertisers or sponsors. This show is intended as entertainment and commentary only. The producers strive for verisimilitude, but nothing said on this podcast should be taken as fact by the listener or viewer without performing due diligence. While generally considered safer work by way of content, some language may be considered offensive by more sensitive viewers or listeners.
The existence, the physical universe, is basically playful. There is no necessity for it whatsoever. It isn't going anywhere. That is to say, it doesn't have some destination that it ought to arrive at.
This is Keep Your Hat On, a show by three nerdy nobodies and one nerdy kinda a somebody about nothing in particular. Wide-ranging and freewheeling, KYHO is four guys trying to make sense of anything and everything. Keep Your Hat On is brought to you by the Narrowband Broadcast Network, NBDN. The focus is on you. And by our kind supporters all around the world via Patreon. Patreon. Create on your own terms. Coming up on this episode, as the KYHO announcer go-round picks up a fresh rider, that's me, or is it? No one would blame you for yelling, "What fresh hell is this?" It's sure getting hard to tell what's real anymore. So the boys are donning their detective hats and getting to the bottom of things. I'm your announcer, Ava Destruction. Now, let's get whatever the hell this is started. Here are your pathetic genetic meatbags, Andrew, Robert, Dr. Mark, and the meatiest of them all, it's Chris.
And hello and welcome back to Keep Your Hat On, the show where hell we don't even know where we're going to go. We are going crazy with Ty, Robert, Anthony, and of course, Dr. Mark, I'm recovering Peterson, and Chris Vacano. I, of course, am Andrew Scott. And today we've got a bunch of interesting stuff going on. First off, we have the ability to do new things.
Yay!
We are using a new platform in order to try to facilitate the regular, right, the golf clap, the regular posting of these videos so they don't take me, the producer, 5 days to edit. We are coming to you live through a new streaming platform. I'm not going to free advertise them because I'm paying for it and they're not giving it to me for free. However, before we get into our topic, how's things been? Mark, how's your lack of COVID? Are you kind of...
I got some weird leftover wheeze.
You got COVID again?
No, not again.
Like three or 4 weeks ago, something like that. But I got some leftover wheeze, some wheeziness, I would say. But that's
wheezy.
About the extent of it.
Wheezy.
That's wheezy. What I was thinking, too.
Yeah. Got to. Know. I mean, our generation holds that name in such regard.
Well, we're moving on. To the east side, to a deluxe apartment in the sky. We're moving on up, to the east side. We finally got a piece of the pie.
You know,
we'll just call you Wheezy.
Yeah.
I always remember there when Peggy and I got married in Vegas, the woman at the, we went down to the county seat to get, because Elvis was too expensive in those days.
I was going to say, you didn't go the Elvis route? What? You were in Vegas already?
It was too expensive, so we went down to City Hall. We rode a bus. It was like the scene at the end of The Graduate. And but I always remember the lady at the clerk's office where we went to get our license, the three little couples in front of us looked so young that she carded them. And when we got up, but she had this voice like Madge the reception, you know, Madge the manicurist.
You're soaking in it.
Right.
And I could swear to God, those of you who've smoked a long time, it sounded like she'd smoked, you know, like maybe 40 years worth of Parliaments or Kents.
Right, it's Pall Malls. Yeah.
And so we got up and Peg said, aren't you going to card us? And this woman just looked at us. She didn't have the cigarette, but she said, and literally this, she goes, "Oh, darling, the things I've seen."
you get checked by Harvey Fierstein? Is that it?
And my I have one regret.
I have no questions about you.
You know,
my one regret in life. I only have maybe this one is that we didn't ask her out for lunch. It's like, well, like what?
Right. That woman's got some stories.
I'm sure that happened. Anyway, sorry. So other than that, my wheeze is coming along. I'll try.
I'm glad to hear that. My big thing is and Chris got to see this in person yesterday. I had to say goodbye to my beloved truck, Betty Ford.
It's a sad day, but she's off to do one more good deed.
Finally gave it up. Ty and I loaded her up after Heather and I went down to the dump with her for one last run. I thought I was going to be able to keep her alive. But when Ty and I loaded her up the next day, I think I was probably on a flat as we rolled out of the driveway. It didn't happen, you know.
I don't know, but when I looked up, right? The car was tilting this way, and it just didn't look right.
I immediately asked you as we were rolling. I was like, "Can you check me? I don't feel right." And I'm kind of like doing this thing, I'll throw a picture of the flat up there. Look, I paid $900 for that truck, and I definitely got more than $900 worth of utility out of that truck the course of time.
Every penny worth it.
Yeah, because I think I bought it. I bought her in 2017, so even if it was 2018, that breaks down to about a $70 a month rent or a $70 a year rental. I'm good with that, but. Now I kind of upgraded, and admittedly I have more truck than I really honestly need to have, to the point where in order to get my crippled ass into this truck, I literally need to use a ladder.
This vehicle is not spelled T-R-U-C-K. It's spelled C-H-R-U-K.
Yeah.
Truck.
Yeah. It is a big chonky Ford F-150 V8, 5.1 liter V8. And
badass.
Literally the first time I got behind the wheel and put my foot on the accelerator, I forgot that it was a V8 and it was raining. And boy, did I spin those tires.
I wish I had a microphone.
Oh God, no! I can't drive a manual anymore. Automatic, but it is a four-wheel drive, four high, four low, and a Ty has to just be some kind of vain thing.
I wanted to get close to the microphone.
Oh, nah.
So that you could hear me, but
I'm good without.
So when it was running in my driveway, it did prompt me to want to ask. It's not a diesel, is it? Because sounded.
Mm-mm. No,
it had that kind of that diesel rhythm to the engine.
It's got a nice throaty rumble.
It's American. It's an American truck.
It is definitely an American truck. I have got it's got a 2-inch lift kit on it. So I've turned into that guy, and I'm not entirely comfortable with it. But
are you
I am
coal rolling that thing later. You'll be doing some of that.
It'll only be a little while before you get comfortable with it.
I am actually already. Heather and I told Heather, I was like, look, I need to start practicing with this because I literally need to use a ladder. I cannot get into this vehicle in any other way. And
I think I may need to use a ladder into it. I mean,
you will,
because
this thing's got a 2-inch lift kit on it. And I told Heather yesterday, we had some stuff to do. I was like, look, we're going to go out in the truck and see how this works, because I've already bought the truck, mind you. And I mean, don't get me wrong.
It's yours.
Who's got the chimes?
Chimes? What chimes?
I'm going to check my door just to see.
I think
see
that
if...
was your door, Chris.
Jeez.
Everybody, it was me.
Oh, you bastard.
Should we go into another room? Oh. Wow.
That's right. This show's full of upgrades.
Wow.
So, while Chris is gone, I'll finish the story. We went out, and there's a couple things I got to fix. It does have a running board on it, but it's a rounded Nerf board, and I don't like those. I like things that have actual tread on them.
Don't they make them that actually kind of, here he comes.
Don't say anything.
Yeah, everybody hide.
Yeah.
He's in the room.
Totally right, Ty, and that's
door.
Just that. That's what, you'll see it on the playback, Chris. Ty, you're absolutely right. I ordered myself up a set of running boards that have a 5-inch step in them as well. So it's running board and then a 5-inch step down. As well, so it's essentially like
I don't know.
I'll know when they get here later this week. that's kind of where I am with it. But
don't put the 30-foot ladder away just yet. Then
no, and that's just it. We've got a nice little ladder, just a collapsible 2-step. Because Ty, you've been with me enough times to know that I used to use that little plastic 1-step to get into my, my Ranger, which literally only had an inch bigger tire on it than normal.
Riffin' Ranger.
Yeah, but I've always been, and I've explained this to other people. I've been a truck guy, but I'm not a truck guy.
You are not a truck
guy.
You are so not a truck guy.
You are now. I'm a guy who owns a truck, because I've never lived life where I've not found having a truck to be of the greatest utility. It's just so good to have.
I want to take this opportunity to ask you, were you able to get that stuff to the dump? Do you still need help?
I do not need any help anymore.
That's good, because I wasn't going to give you mine.
I kind of assumed as much. You are already tired of this bullshit. No, that load, Ty, I just paid some dude from Craigslist to rock up with a dump truck and drive
it
off.
Load.
Load.
But no,
yeah.
It's kind of interesting. Yeah. I sort of copped to this a little bit with Heather when we were talking about, I donated my truck to our local public radio station, the jazz station that I listen to. So they get a couple bucks out of it.
Oh, because I did the same thing with the Exploder.
Yeah,
that's how I got rid of the Exploder. The Exploder, yeah.
And,
I'm waiting for a Portlandia episode about this.
Oh, nah.
Was the truck locally sourced?
Absolutely. It was a Washington vehicle. It was. Its name is Hugh. So, and not to our other philosopher, Dr. Hugh. Hi, Dr. Hugh, if you're watching and listening.
Somewhere, yeah.
No,
don't worry.
His name is Hugh G. McLarge. That's the name of the truck, is Huge McLarge.
This is all in the McBodie Boatface category.
Oh, very much so. Yeah, the Ever Given. At some point, I'm going to wind up getting this truck wedged into the Suez Canal to the point where nobody can go anywhere, and all the garden gnomes are delayed. That's a callback to our second episode, I think that was. I actually did step back and go, as a disabled guy, a little bit of my masculinity kind of was tied up in owning a truck. And part of that is because I am limited in some of the physical things that I can do, but having a mechanical advantage means that I'm able to be a helping guy. And, I was always the guy with the truck.
Oh, that's the danger of having truck. That's the danger of truck
ownership. Oh, absolutely.
Right? Like, everybody expects your help. And
but
by
here's
the way,
thing. I don't mind that.
Call me.
I don't mind that, but instead of, because there's really two bumper stickers for guys with trucks that aren't truck guys. One of them is, yes, this is my truck. No, I won't help you move. Or the other one is, sure, I'll help you move, but I won't load. So, we've got another truck back in our life. It seems to be a good deal, even though the guy who sold it to me jacked me for an extra $100. And tried to get me to drive off with a broken battery in it that stopped when I when we pulled into the gas station, and I shut off the vehicle and put gas in it and then turned it on and nothing. And I call this guy and I'm just like, dude, this truck is not starting. And he's like, oh, did you shut it off? I'm like, fucking yeah, I shut it off. I'm at a gas station. And I figured for that money, the ability to turn it off and on again was kind of built in.
Okay, that's pretty classic Southern Washington, though.
So yeah, so this, I got this guy to come back, and he brought a jump kit. Not shitting, brought a jump kit where the battery leads were bare. And he's and so finally I told the guy, I was like, look, we're going over to Walmart and you're putting a new battery in this vehicle. And he did, and it's been smooth sailing ever since. But the ability to keep moving forward with projects is something that has stalled me a number of times in my life, and a lot of the times getting past that has to do with having a truck. And now the other thing is, weather's not going to get any better. Our planet is damaged, and we've gotten hit by a number of really nasty snowstorms. When I went in for my surgery 2 years ago, that was the day of the big snowstorm, and we're driving to the hospital in a fucking Prius.
Yeah,
that was not fun.
Oh,
having having a four-wheel drive vehicle again.
You've got me thinking seriously about at least, if not retiring the Volvo, at least adding something four-wheel drive to my fleet.
You don't need that because now you know a guy.
I know a guy.
And the other thing is that, you know, really the best thing to do in weather is, like Dr. Mark was kind of indicating,
the hell home.
Is stay the hell home. Don't go out in it. Tell you what.
Been getting these. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, finish. Out. All right. Yeah. We'll be back after this break of some kind. This is the Narrowband Broadcast Network. That's Dr. Mark. That's Chris. That's Ty. I'm me. Wear the hats. We'll be back in just a second. Don't go anywhere. Bye. Back on Keep Your Hat On, the show where, hell, we don't know where we're going to go, but we're going there. Dr. Mark, you were saying something when we were going out to the break. What were you?
You get
what
weird. Yeah, you guys, you know, we do get, and I do drive a Prius in the city and now in the country, and it's fine. Front wheel drive changes your life forever. But you guys have been getting these wackadoodle monster storms on the West Coast that just.
Yeah.
Don't make no sense, except that they're, you know, the planet has a temperature and a fever right now, and it's
right.
Not happy about it. And when I get to, you know, when I get a couple of degrees over my ambient temperature, I start seeing elephants and shit on the wall.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what the planet's doing right now.
Our planet's got a case of the vapors.
Yeah, well, I mean, it could be a lot. It could be showing up in all sorts of other psychotic behaviors. I just keep thinking, you know.
Yeah.
You know, they never experiment. Do you know the thing where they put too many rats in a cage and the rats start to eat each other and go crazy? It's like, what would happen if you made the cage hot?
There you go.
What
yeah.
Happens? What, you know? What is that called? Carrying capacity.
Yeah. I just. How about brain-eating amoebas in every freshwater pond that there is?
Oh, I like the title of that, though.
Brain-eating amoebas? I like brain-eating amoebas.
that's good, too. Carrying capacity in a hot cage.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you're right.
This is going to be the name of my next band, I think.
Oh, wait, what did we come up with for your band, Mark? What was it?
Oh, Foot. I've lost it now.
Oh, darn it.
We're playing
game.
Again in a couple of months, and we're still going to be sequestered puppies.
It was so good. I feel bad that I don't have that. It was, hold on.
Did it make it through production, the last the last run?
Band practice. B-A-N-E-D. Practice. Yes.
Yeah,
fabulous. So totally. Let's talk about another facet of the world going to hell, and we're all
other
along
new
for
truck.
The ride.
Yeah.
Other than my new truck. So, you know, it felt like only yesterday that we were knee-jerk reacting to artificial intelligence and generative AI. And, it was just yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's all gone higgledy-piggledy again. We're going to do something that we haven't done on this show before, but I think we're going to probably wind up doing it a few times again into the future. We're going to have a reaction video to, frankly, a reaction video. So we all know that generative AI is this thing that's happening, and it's not coming, it's here. And one of the content creators I follow is a guy named Marques Brownlee, who his YouTube channel is MKBHD.
He's eating pills.
Yeah, he's a very high-end tech commentator. But he put this in front of me, and I think, 3 days ago? Is that how, when I sent the link to you guys, days ago?
Yeah, that's about right.
Friday, yeah.
So this is fresh. This is fresh, and let's just have a quick look.
All right, so this is simultaneously really impressive and really frightening at the same time, and it's hitting me in ways that I didn't really expect. So do you remember Will Smith eating spaghetti? Do you remember when this was what AI-generated videos looked like? Remember when we said, okay, this AI stuff is cool and all, but clearly there's a long way to go before there's any need for concern. Well, welcome to the future, people, because this is also an AI-generated video. And so is this, completely synthesized out of thin air by computers. This one too, this is not real. Absolutely ridiculous how far we've come in literally 1 year.
We're to the point now. We are literally, we've crossed over the Rubicon, and we're to the point now where you can't tell that a video, without a very critical eye, that a video is real or fake. And when we were first starting to talk about ChatGTP and OpenAI and DALL-E and all those things, those video generators, the question that we all brought up with was, well, how long is it going to be before it's video? And the answer is 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Because this stuff is, you know, and as I talked last time, this idea of the sigmoid curve, where things kind of go slowly up and then suddenly shoot up. We're on the shoot up point, and we're not even past the middle part of the skyrocketing advance of this stuff. And I'll be honest, I'm even more concerned than I was when it was artificial intelligence working with the human voice. We're headed into a friggin' election.
Yeah, an election year, and that's really troubling. You know, in Marcus's video, he talks a little bit about, you know, they're going to have to put in safeguards, and there's going to have to be a lot of, you know, a lot of this and a lot of that. And my thought, looking at that, and I don't disagree with him at all. I think he's exactly right. I think it's also a pie in the sky fantasy that's going to happen, because you look at how technology is released, and you know it's always in the hands of guys like Mark Zuckerberg, and in this case Sam Altman. I think
Altman's the guy that runs OpenAI.
And it's, you know, these fucking guys don't give a shit. All they care about is pushing their stuff out there.
Yeah.
And they really don't care about, they don't even stop to think. It's like just doesn't even register with them.
Haven't we talked, didn't we talk about Jacques Ellul and the technical paradigm stuff at some point in the past?
Yeah, that was just a couple episodes ago.
Chris, I'm going to make you even more unhappy, I think. I don't think they don't think about it. I think that they have thought about it and they love it. And that, you know, the watchword of this kind of worldview paradigmatic understanding of reality, this idea that, you know, technology is always good, is that phrase, we have the technology. And that thing covers everything, right? And so these guys, not only do they not think about the implications, they're actively trying to make this stuff because the implications might be chaos or crazy. But I don't even think it goes that far. I think the mere fact that they can do it is the justification for doing it.
Yeah.
So it's like we're seeing this in the virtual realm right now, and we'll have to save this for another show. But, I mean, do you suppose anywhere, someplace in, I don't know, any place they're using CRISPR to monkey around with the human genome?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and you know they are. They know that somebody has already done that stuff.
Well, they already have. There was a case in China. Where,
that's the one I was thinking about, Anita.
There you
rightly.
Go.
But
yeah,
but there's stuff going on like that. So it's like, you know, I think the reaction of healthy people is the one you just gave, which is, don't these guys think about it? It's like, well, yes, they do, and in fact, they like it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think they think about it in the terms of
morality and ethics. And
yeah, no, the only thing they're thinking about, there's the saying in the Silicon Valley, right? Move fast and break things.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what's happening here.
Yeah.
The one thing that did really resonate with what you were saying, Mark, was, oh, I'm going to put it out there regardless because I can.
Because you can.
They're not even thinking about the consequences.
This is where I feel the strong impulse to be the Jeff Goldblum in the room saying, okay, yeah, you're so busy asking, you know, asking if you can, that you didn't stop to think about whether or not you should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, damn it, Chris. We all wanted to be the Jeff Goldblum, but now
right.
You're called dibs.
Yeah, why did you steal that, man?
You know, and I wonder, having touched on this a little bit with my truck analogy, how much of this is just bullshit machismo, I'm going to be the dude to do the thing? How much of this is powered by toxic masculinity as well?
I think there's a huge amount of that.
I think it's just power.
I mean,
just
it's
like Mark said, I have the power. I can do this. I'm going to do it.
Here's the thing.
What could go wrong?
When we talk about this whole have the power thing.
Yeah.
It's almost never a woman who acts on that.
Oh, 100%, and that's the observation I was going to make, is look at the rogues gallery of technology authoritarian autocrats,
right?
You got Zuckerberg, you got Musk, you got Bezos, you got Altman, all nerdy white guys.
This is what happens when you work to change things.
Backed by really fucking rich white guys. I mean, it is so goddamn transparent and right in front of us.
It seems that way. It really does. And, you know, not to go too far afield in this analogy, but it was literally last week where we had... I'm sorry about this. We had a shooting, and I was shocked to hear that the shooter was a woman. It's only been how many hundreds of shootings before it was a woman? And that's just
it. Columbine?
They're finally catching up with us, Andy. You know,
right?
That just goes to show you.
Can you really blame her, though?
Well, that's not...
it was a joke.
Not even.
We don't know what was going on in her past, and we don't know what pushed her to that, but I bet you that there was something significant, and that's not to excuse what she did. And
let's not even go there. The reason why I brought it up is because it is disproportionately male, as is so many other things You know, and that's just it. In STEM, well, that, okay, I was going to say that goes without saying, but it doesn't. You're right. No, in STEM, in science, technology, and math, and that, there's been a growing movement to, and there are more females in STEM. But if you look at the higher echelons of tech development, it's all still men. They're driving that bus. And it, you know, that's just it. It's, I'm doing this because I can. I'm doing this because it's there. The mountain is there. I'm going to climb it. Doesn't matter.
We talk about the intersectionality among the oppressed groups in culture, right? Gender, race, and class. And we talk about the intersectionality there. But what we're talking about here is the intersectionality within the oppressor groups, right?
Right. And yeah, that Venn diagram.
Yeah, so yeah, it's like, and I don't know what's particularly male about it, other than the testosterone poisoning that I know that we've all lived with.
And that's a real thing.
Well, yeah. I remember being 50.
Yeah, but here's anyway. It's interesting though, because in a number of my trans friends, who came to me. Before they started taking testosterone, I said, you better buckle up. This is a drug unlike any other, and it will change your life, and it could potentially fucking wreck your life. And one of my dear friends came back to me after their second T-shot and went, you weren't fucking lying, brother.
Are they staying on it, or are they,
they've gone full they're through their entire transition, but it is shocking what testosterone does.
It's
a fucking powerful drug.
Yeah, it is. I was just gonna say, you know, I've been on lots of drugs, and testosterone is the number one, and it's gotten me in more trouble.
We should remind ourselves that this is not really a drug; it's a feature.
That's right. That could very well be. Tell you what, we're going to jump back out. We're going to jump back out and jump back in and have a little bit more of a discussion about the whole video thing on the Narrowband Broadcast Network. That's Mark. That's Ty. That's Chris. This is me. We'll be back in a second. Don't go anywhere. Bye. And we're back for the last segment of Keep Your Hat On. We are going to talk a little bit more about we're now living in the future. We're living in the age where literally all you have to do is have an idea and you can make it extant by typing something into a computer and it spits out a photorealistic video. The implications of this are broad and exciting and horrifying.
Yeah.
I had a friend that I was talking to about this who has a counter argument brought up, you know, back in the day when painters, when pictures first came into play, the painters and the artists were all like, oh my God, that's a perverse depiction of reality, and now we're at a place where it's accepted in court, and that is the most durable representation of a past reality. Now that's coming into question, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly so, and that's an interesting observation. You know, I think we were all kind of, you know, as we were in when we were first talking about artificial intelligence, going, how long is it going to be? And now that's been asked and answered. You know, it takes us to the next question. Now, we've already had video assets on both sides of the political equation, faking material, deep faking you know, that this is a different level. This isn't deep faking. This is whole cloth creation from literally from text prompts. And, you know, one of the things that Marques Brownlee said, which I think is really important, and that is, and I really wish that it worked. I'm going to try it again. Be ready for it to not work.
What does this all mean? Well, I mean, there's what it means now, and there's what it means for the future. Now, Sora, this thing that they've made, is clearly a really impressive video generation AI tool that is both going to fool people and also be very useful. There's also a watermark in the bottom corner of every video generated by it. So if you see one of those videos and ideally it hasn't been cropped out, then that's at least a pretty clear indicator that it's AI generated. It's a Sora video. But I do think they're going to have to be very careful with this. They're going to have a whole bunch of safety stuff to keep in mind. I think they'll probably have to be even more safe than DALL-E. Like, you shouldn't be able to generate people's likenesses. Like, you shouldn't be able to make a politician look like they're doing something on video, especially this year. You probably won't be able to make Will Smith eating spaghetti. But it also definitely means stock video generation is absolutely going to take a dent out of video licensing. Yeah. Like, I can basically guarantee that. Like, logistically, why would anyone making something pay for footage of a house in the cliffs when they can generate one for free or for a small subscription price? Like, that is the real scary part of what this tool implies. But in the future, it gets pretty existential, man. I mean, okay, if this is trained on all videos that have ever been made by humans, then surely it can't be innovative or creative in ways that humans haven't already been, right?
And the thing that he closed out with, and I'm glad that that segment of video worked. All the video that wasn't Marques Brownlee in that video was generated by artificial intelligence, literally by somebody just typing in, you know, I want a video of Santorini in the golden hour as a drone shot. Okay, that's all that was put in. And one of the things that Marques closes with is,
just remember, this is the worst that this technology is going to be from here on out.
This is the worst it's ever going to be.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. It's better from here. It's going to continue improving.
Guys, I want to stop. And what he was talking about the watermark and about that company in particular.
Charming.
Right, isn't it, though?
The crazy thing is, you can write your own AI engine.
Oh, yeah.
You can set it forth pretty soon. We're all, you know, if you're interested in it enough, if you want to be geek, if you want to go to that level, you create your own engine for your own movies, for your own sound.
But you're still needing access to the libraries, and the learning models, and you know, this is a proprietary learning model, even though it's OpenAI. They're going to unleash it to the masses, but right now it's black boxed. But I get your point, Ty. And yeah, Dr. Mark waving dismissively, kids with your ideas.
It'll be safe. It'll be safe.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the genes on these soybeans, and they won't go anywhere.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, he talks about it in the frame of, and he, he's not wrong to focus on the fact that, you know, this is an election year, and so the immediate obvious implications of this are, you know, you could generate a video of a presidential candidate shooting somebody on Fifth Avenue, you know, if you wanted to. But I think that shows a certain limit of imagining just how bad this can be. Contemplate what this technology does in the hands of a group of people like Anonymous, who have an entirely different agenda.
Mm-hmm.
I was going for Russian troll farms.
Right?
Or Russian troll farms. I mean, and suddenly you, I mean, so we are at a really, really terrifying precipice. And Mark, you as a philosopher will probably say, yeah, no, this is nothing new. This is just a new flavor of something.
No, this is actually new.
And that
this
is,
this is new, no, by the way. Sorry.
Well,
I'm really glad to hear that.
We have no way of knowing, or we're getting to a place where we have no way of knowing what's real.
Yeah.
Well, that was the question I was going to ask. When I first got the video, that's the first question I posed was, you know, how are we going to know what's real? And then I was thinking about it. And Dr. Mark, we all have this schema, this filter that we run things through to see if things are real, right? If this is the shared reality or not. How are we going to change that up?
But we never use it. That's the thing, right? Is we have narratives that you know, the storylines that we have in our lives, the narratives are what put us into relationship to the world. But the problem is that your narrative can put you into relationship to the things that don't exist, right? And, I mean, look at the percentage of people who think the last election was stolen, or that global warming doesn't exist, or that
birds aren't real.
Birds are real! Birds are real!
That's exactly right.
Right.
I had this terrifying and unhappy thought when you said this. It's like it occurred to me that if anybody were to release, this is terrible. If anybody were to actually release an AI version of Donald Trump with Stormy Daniels, it would look better than the original.
I need to bleach my eyes.
My entire brain.
It would have to look
your
so
point,
much better.
Your point is totally salient there. And,
yeah, I'm afraid so. Yeah. I'm sorry. I apologize.
You did the right thing.
I'm coming up on retirement, and my filters are going offline.
Well, that walks us into an even different layer of this whole conversation, which is, again, nothing new, but a whole new layer of it and a whole exponential expansion of it, which is this sort of idealized reality that we're constantly being fed, you know, supermodels. Women are supposed to look a certain way and dress a certain way, and everything's airbrushed and smooth. And
oh,
you know, that's
airbrushed,
been going on
how
since
quaint.
The 70s, right?
Those are the days.
Airbrushed.
And then photoshopped and it's like this is another step in this utter march, this blind march down this path of just complete.
I don't think it's a. I don't
intellectual
think it, I don't
and
think
social
it's a march.
Self-immolation.
I don't think it's a march. I think it's a slide.
Mud.
Exactly. I want to see if I can luck out and get another video clip to play here because I want to tie it into what Dr. Mark just said. Hold on a second. Let's see if this works.
Like this clip here of a bunch of gray wolf pups looks normal at first, but then it's pretty clear that something's kind of off with the way they're just kind of appearing out of nowhere and walking through each other. That's kind of weird.
I had one of these.
Or this clip of a guy running on a treadmill, which, I mean,
I love
this
clip.
Have to say much more about why this one's weird, but this is my favorite one. Again, just try to put yourself in the mind of someone who's not expecting AI. You're just scrolling through Facebook or Twitter or something, right? So you just see this video. So first, I just want you to watch this clip as if it's just a stock video you found of a grandma celebrating her birthday. And just try to think, like, what, I wonder what birthday she's celebrating, right? I don't know. How old do you think she is? 60? 65? Maybe it's the big 7-0. She seems to really like that cake. Now, did you see it? Did you catch that? I'm gonna play it again, but this time, watch the video knowing that AI-generated photos and videos have trouble accurately doing hands. I'll play it again. And now it feels super obvious. Like every time you watch it, watch a different set of hands. It gets weirder and weirder. You can watch it like 5 times and there's dead giveaway after dead giveaway. Not even mentioning the weird inconsistencies with the direction of the wind on the candles. But even as I'm saying all that, even as it's coming out of my mouth, I can't help but remember that 12 months ago we were critiquing this.
It actually looked a lot like Will Smith to me.
It did, except for the fact that I'm being completely and utterly pedantic here. Everybody says it's spaghetti. That's obviously fettuccine. Yeah, but, you know, the thing that gets me is, let's tie perfectly those two clips together here as we head in towards our landing, and that is, yes, Stormy Daniels, Donald Trump, and generative artificial intelligence having trouble with body parts.
Yeah.
Ew, Andrew.
How wrong could that go?
You ain't right, brother. You ain't right.
I mean, my brain immediately goes to...
What do you want?
Looking for Melina.
Well, she's busy. But Mary here, she's free.
Well, not free, honey, but available.
But, you know, as we wrap up here, I think one of the things, you know... Obviously, we're talking about this in kind of a big picture. Oh, my God, humanity's doomed. But I want to zoom in a little bit, right, again, some more.
Still.
I want to zoom in a little bit. I want to zoom in a little bit. And, you know, as a content creator, and not only that, as a 50-something-year-old content creator who kind of got to this game late, you know, we've had, like, 15 years worth of... YouTube being kind of a legitimate career path for people,
yeah,
you know,
say goodbye to that.
And it's paid my bills as a content creator for a number of years. It's something that Mark has brought up. Don't need drone operators anymore. That was actually a very sustaining, lucrative career for people. Voice artists. Voiceover artists, they're gone, you know, we don't need B-roll anymore. Don't need. So all the photographers who are trying to cut their teeth don't need to go out and, you know, take product photography anymore.
The screenwriters.
Right.
Right. The special effects folks, the DPs.
Yep.
Right. All of this stuff. Are we going to come back to print so that we could safely believe what we read?
And those are all legitimate questions. Chris, what were you going to say?
What I'd like to interject, I do think his point about, you know, like the drone operators and stock footage was valid and interesting. However, I feel it's really important to interject here that after a year of Dolly and similar engines and models in still photography, there has been a massive eruption in, and this is coming from a graphic design background, so, you know, this is industry knowledge, this is industry awareness, and something that I've seen very widespread, is within the stock houses, the stock photo houses, you are seeing a whole lot of AI-generated stock.
Already.
But,
yep.
But there is a huge backlash against it. Designers are essentially walking away from stock companies that have put their chips so heavily on AI and are seeking out stock suppliers, stock providers who are going to actual real human photographers. So
for right
that's
now.
The one,
yeah,
that's the one
that comes back to the whole point of
hope.
It comes back to the painter and the invention of the acetate and how they, well, that's not real art. Mm-hmm. That's not real film, right?
Well, I think there is a little sliver there that we do have the capacity, we do have the ability within our hands to stand up and resist this by never letting go of the value that we place on auteurship.
You know, I'd love to think that there's some validity there, Chris.
I so hope you're right.
And I do too. But here's the thing, and this is an analogy that I've used a number of times. I can go out right now and I can spend $1.89 for a 12-ounce jar of pickles, or I can go and spend $11 for an artisan jar of pickles.
Oh, artisanal pickles.
And here's the thing. The artisanal pickles are better. They're better in every single way. They're made by somebody that I know and care about.
Yeah.
But the shelves in the grocery store are full of Vlasic. This is not going to be a win or lose thing. In my opinion, this is a wall, and it's always going to be we can't turn back from this now. This is what is going to be used. What we need to do is find ways, not necessarily like you're saying, Chris. I don't think that there's any nobility. I don't think that there's any nobility to stand up for in this regard. Now all we're doing is saying, I don't prefer reality. We need to demand reality. We need to demand it, because otherwise we're lost.
Yeah, but whom?
I don't disagree.
Well, that's the question, Mark.
Because Jeff Bezos and those guys aren't interested. They're going to Mars, man.
Yeah, exactly. They really can. And I tell you what, honestly, at this stage, if I had the choice, I probably would go, because this is a fucking mess.
Thanks for all the fish.
Yeah, exactly. So long, and thanks for all the fish. Absolutely right. It's just, part of me is actually really happy that Douglas isn't here for this.
The other thing that I thought about.
Think of the books he would have written. Oh, we could probably have those written for him.
Oh, sure. No, just... I mean, just yes. Yeah. ChatGPT, please write us a retelling of Wuthering Heights in the voice and style of Douglas Adams. Boom, it's done.
Yeah.
So
the other thing that I thought about was the entertainment industry at large. Do you think that as this gets better, because it's never going to be this bad again, right? As this gets better, people are going to be able to sit in front of their desks and put together movies. Right?
Is this
going to level the playing field like streaming leveled the playing field for the music industry?
And that's a good question, and this brings me around to the other uncomfortable point, and that is, as a disabled creator myself, as somebody who has advocated for an equity in creation and the creative process, there are parts of this, as is always the case with everything, there are parts of this where there's good stuff. There are people who are trapped inside bodies that cannot function, who have incredible ideas and are going to be able to make them extant. And we're going to be able to explore those things as well. I can't argue against that, because at many times in my life, I've been that person. I've been a musical creator who has symphonies in his head and would literally sound like somebody falling down a staircase with a drum kit behind them. I mean, but to be able to use MIDI and program, I've been able to write music and make it come to life in a way that I only imagined. Those are good things. There are always good things with bad things. That's kind of the yin and yang of the world. But when it comes to things like you're talking about, Ty, I'm going to make a prediction, and that is, before 365 days is out, we will see a full greater than 30-minute motion picture made with artificial intelligence, generative AI, and by this time next year, there will be a commercial for a product in the United States, or a company in the United States, that is going to broadcast, that has been made entirely from generative AI.
Sure.
Guarantee you.
Well, I mean, that's
I looked up the name of the there was that Korean group we talked about this the other week. There was that Korean group that had a virtual member, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, we didn't go to the really dark place here, which has been
coming up. But we're going now.
Oh, really?
Everybody sit down. Because this is the sort of stuff philosophers talk about. We can't do it if we're president of Harvard.
Yeah.
But it's like one of the real details that's come up about, you know, generative AI for videos is what do we do about pedophiles now who generate their own artificial kid porn?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And are able to hide behind, but it's not real.
That's, yeah. You know,
this is a
really
healthier way to deal with that.
Yeah.
There is no healthier
really
way to deal with
interesting
that.
Interesting questions, right?
Yeah.
And this is like, that's sort of where it goes, you know, and Chris is saying we can't tell them apart. One of the, I keep coming back to this little bit of Plato, which happens, but in the cave allegory, of course, you know, guys in a cave, shadows cast on wall, they take the shadows to be real. And one of the things that gets lost in that analogy, and so this is our, and Chris alluded to this indirectly when he's talking about the impact of visual stuff on people, right? We sort of short sheet this, but the images that we see on television and the movies and media, which don't even look like the people of whom they are the images, right? By the time you get to, you know, take a picture of a model or Photoshop it. And I've actually had a couple of fairly weird AI thingamajig show up in my Instagram feed now, mm-hmm. you know, of boats and ships. And I accidentally signed into one of these natural disasters Instagram accounts, but there a lot of it's AI generated now. Well, what we don't always talk about is that the images are very often more compelling than reality is.
Yeah.
Right. Which is why people like porn, for instance, is because even though it's not real, it's compelling because it's all the fizzy, sizzly parts. Right. It's like selling the sizzle and not the steak.
Yeah.
And this is why
it's the
when
fantasy.
I talk about
yeah
and when I talk about this in class, it's like people laugh, and I'll say, well, you know, the interesting thing about this is that young women mostly, but now some guys, are literally starving themselves to death because of pictures in magazines.
Yeah.
And it's like, that really says everything, right?
Well,
what was the name of that series years ago? Was it Twin Palms?
Or Twin
26
Peaks?
Palms? No, it wasn't Twin Peaks. It was a series about artificial reality had set up, like you could actually create actual images of people.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
With,
yeah.
Like, was it? It wasn't Bruce Willis, but it was that, anyway, I don't remember now.
Yeah, it was that guy. Yeah.
That one guy.
But we're back to this now. It's like,
well,
and, you know, why would people even go out anymore if they can just make their own TV shows?
Well, and here's what, here's where you brought me with this, Mark, to close. And that is, you know, this idea of, as you said, the dark place of generating child pornography with generative AI. And you know, the difference and the distinction between what's real and what's not. I always go back to Cypher in The Matrix saying, look,
I know this steak doesn't exist. I know that when I put it in my mouth, the Matrix is telling my brain that it is juicy and delicious. After 9 years, you know what I realize? Ignorance is bliss.
And that really is kind of where we've been dragged or slid down to. Do us a favor.
Are you going to tell the viewers that we actually are artificially generated yet?
Oh, absolutely.
Everybody,
no, I was just going to say.
Everybody show your hands.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. Do us a favor. Like, click, subscribe. You know, we're going to be using this new platform. As Marquez Brownlee said, this is the worst this production is going to be. It's only going to get better from here. Ty's microphone situation will get fixed. We'll get guest three off of there on what's supposed to be Chris's feed. And, you know, hopefully there's just going to be so much more goodness happening. But until next time, everybody, this is The Hats. That's Dr. Mark. That's Chris. That's Ty. I'm Andy. And once again, as always, keep your hat on, because we may end up miles from here. Whether or not it's a real place, we don't know. But we'll see you again real soon. Take it easy. Bye-bye.
Well, there's a chunk of time you can't get back. From Portland, Oregon and Milwaukee, Wisconsin, this has been Keep Your Hat On, a big little show about a whole lot of nothing in particular. Keep Your Hat On is a Neuroband Broadcast Network production. in association with Andrew Scott Media. Andrew Scott, executive producer. Robert Anthony and Christopher Vacamil, associate producers. Our theme music was written and produced by Andrew Scott, along with guitar help from Ron Kajawa. Website design and maintenance by Vacano Creative. Chris Vacano, webmaster. Available at vacanocreative.com. Audio and video production by Andrew Scott. Available at, well, he just does it as a labor of love. Got ideas or comments for the show? Email us at talkback@kyhopodcast.com. And don't forget to like, click, and subscribe. For the Meatbags, I'm your announcer, Ava Destruction. Thanks for listening. I guess.
NBBN.
The Narrowband Broadcast Network.
The focus is on you.